envy not. Speak ye of envy? Nay, I have none of that which is for my fellow man. And all that he may have, which I have not. For envy dwelleth unbidden in my heart. Surely it would be for the grains of sand that inhabit the earth, for they have known the kiss of the winds of heaven, the ceaseless tramp of armies of men in endless conquests. Yes, and they holdeth back the tides, so that they encroacheth not upon the land. And they have become many things. Likewise, the mortar which bindeth together the stones in countless dwellings and great temples. And they have become transparent as glass to hold wine in some frail cup, or stained with many colors, or formed as windows depicting the holiness of some great man within the walls of some great cathedral. Yes, these and many more things, unwritten and unsung, a silent symphony, a song of endless creation. For earth first held within the starry bosom of the infinite, to swing in endless vistas, a void yet filled with other countless grains of sand. Large or small than our tiny world are countless other grains which go to make each voice well known. So envy came and went and left behind, not strife, a tattered garment long gone beyond the time of usefulness. But in my house now shines a jewel, a tiny grain of sand, one born of wisdom's womb, and softer than the touch of any pearl will ever whisper its a silent message. The rhythm of nature. How sings the lark? You will have to ask his mate, for she alone can hear all things that larks should hear, one to another, especially of nests or eggs or young birds soon to come. Or should a lark know more about the summer sun than other larks? Or even other small brown birds, and even gray ones too, that seen but never heard. For these all speak a language of their own, bird songs and twitters, a language of the birds, but known to each as best his kind. A lark, a small brown bird, or even gray, who sings a song or chirps a twitter better than all the rest, save but his mate. Whate'er is chirped or twittered so is done with nests in mind, and eggs and baby birds to come. And so the rhythm of nature comes and goes. Poetic things that's written in the lives of all things, large or small, that crawl or swim or fly, or even walk direct like men. For here too, nature's song is sung, a symphony of nature so woven with an infinite thread that comes and goes, and as its shuttle plies its thread among the woof of time, a pattern different with the seasons, red or brown or gold, or covered white with deepened winter's snows, a tapestry to last a countless thousand years, and having so been woven, become fit cloak for future day, predicted there within the pattern of its weave. The morrow comes and brings new songs of birds, new chirps, new twitters, a countless thousand cries, all known to those who love them best. And so their future grows. Oneness of all. Thou comest unto the garden, and thou seest the tree, and it beareth many fruits. And thou sayest of this fruit, that it is the brother of that one, or that these two are sisters, or the larger one on yonder branch is the father. Nay, thou canst say not of these fruits, neither can thou sayest of the races of mankind. For surely of all the races, and of all the countless numbers therein, that they are the fruit of the one tree. Nor are they likened unto brother or sister, nor becometh parents to yet another. For surely, as they are fruits of the one tree, and that they are held up by its many branches, and the branches springeth from the trunk, and of the roots which groweth in the soil, yea, and of the leaves which gathered of the warm sunshine, that as of each fruit of this tree, none is more or less than the other to the tree. And that of this fruit, which containeth the seeds, also containeth all of the tree. Bowstring. Words are thoughts, and born like winged messengers, shafts of iridescent light, feathered with a kindness soft, or barbed with hardened steel, that minds and hearts be shorn apart by piercing shafts. And how can it be that shaft feathered with love so guides the barbed tip into its mark, with bowstring taut against the bowman's arm, soon to sing its song of wonders unperformed. His song is one which brings about a mission absolute, for who can tell an arrow sent upon its way come back, for I have but one regret, And even as thou criest out, its mark is reached, and fallen is the thing so long achieved. Haste not, and thou shalt regret never, nor know the deed to cry. And if thine arm be strong, then holdest not the bowman's string, soon loosed in moment's flight. For surely if thy strength is strength for one, then it can yield to two. And in the yielding hold all things of love. Awakened infant can best be held with strength which once did hold the bowman's string. A sweetheart's sigh of love yields far more pleasant melody than singing shaft. And if it is that thou shalt count thy deeds in thine eyes of men, count not the fond hearts of men or loved ones fair, but countest only those when drawn to thee with strength of bowman's arm. They yield in love the treasures of their hearts to blend with thine. Image of God. Thou shalt not knowest of thy God as any man, nor of the likeness of any man, nor shall he cometh amongst ye with the name of man upon his lips, but rather he shall come as all things, as the blade of grass at thy feet, and the leaves upon the trees, and thou shalt see his face in every cloud. There is his voice in the song of the birds, and the radiance of his love comes in the glory of the warming sunshine, and shall guard thee from the star-filled heavens while thou sleepest. Look ye therefore in the vessel of thine own life, for surely as thou fillest it with the goodness of thine own life, thou shalt seest there not the reflection of thine own self, but the glorious image of God. Flowers of Spirit. Come walk with me into the garden, that we may walk along the pathways, and seeth the beauty of the flowers therein, that while there are many and diverse, and of radiant hues and colors, some who are small and shy, and alone in the shadows of the greatness of those about them, there are those who are splendid in the glory of the pageantry which boasts of many colors. For there are others who shyly cast about them into the vagrant breeze a rare and soft perfume, and that with all these and the multiplicities thereof, here we find each and every flower a creation unto itself, that while its many colors and radiant hues, the fragrance of each blossom, yet all must needs spring from the same soil and be thus nurtured by the same rains. All must be blended with the same sunshine. The same touch of the master's brush, the same stroke of divine hand. Yea, so it is with all man. Therefore let him be unto himself, and not like the others. Nor seek not for himself things for which he is created. For in earth about, and in the heavens about him, and in the sunshine which shines upon him, shall he find all things. And there shall cometh from within him that which he needs to blend the master's touch and the master's brush to make unto himself his own garden amid the blending and the beauty of the creation about him. Found spring. It was April when I came to earth, and a gentle rain was falling, and the air was filled with a promise of spring. And so I waited until May. Then my eyes feasted with the beauty of fresh flowers and the multitude of growing things. Then it was June, and my blood waxed warm in the summer sun. And I raced across the meadows and climbed all the hills and rested in the shadiest spots. And while I ran and climbed and rested, I caught and held many another thing, some filled with love and soft like the summer night, yet others had thorns which were sharp and pained much, until I learned to leave them alone. Some things had beautiful smiles, or lips with promises, but never fulfilled, yet always waiting. And others came that touched me lightly, and hardly did I notice. Yet when they left, they took much of me with them. And with all of this running and climbing and resting, there were many sounds, like the laughter of children, or the sound of animals about their way of life, or growing things. The bursting of a million buds, while loud, not yet loud enough to drown the distant roar of cannon fire, nor the groans of those who died for causes lost. A newborn infant's wail begins a life anew, yet never is he quiet. And even unto death, he'll speak of all the things he is, and thrice times that of which he's not. A boasting braggart, he must remain until the end of time. And then the autumn came at last. September wooed and wrapped the world about in autumn's brilliant cloak, so fashioned from the leaves and spent through sunshine, now thus becomes a stolen thing. Then with gusty sigh gave up this cloak and donned the winter shroud, and cold became my blood. Nor was there strength to wend my weary way. And in the failing light of one last day, I rode a sunbeam back to whence I came. For I would rest a while, and so refresh, I would again seek out some April time. And in the falling showers, I'd come again into a newfound spring. Thank you. seed. And so it is that the scholar or the poet might find divine inspiration, and that to transmute such inspiration, he dips his pen in the blackest of ink and fouls the whiteness of the page, so that he who followeth after may see the inspiration in the foulness. For even the most beautiful of flowers are born from the blackness of the earth, yet they must be nurtured with the rains from heaven, made strong by rays of immortal sun, which giveth them strength. Yet, which is there among these seeds which saith unto himself, as he lieth in the earth, that I am to be a tree or a flower? For he saith nothing, but knowing that which he is. And from the earth, the rain and the sun, he groweth unto his full maturity, and casteth his seed unto the earth, even as he was casteth. For even so it is with all things, for everything is the fruit of the Father, who casteth it unto eternity. And so it is that as it is the fruit of the Father, and of the seed thereof, which is of the fruit, so that it asketh not what I am, but lying upon the bosom of consciousness, groweth into full maturity, yes, even as the Father which casteth the seed. Of creation. For it may be that you come into the forest, that you will see about you the mightiness of the great oaks, or the tallness of the pine trees, or that you will cast your eye upon the beauty of many others of those splendid trees which groweth in the forest. And it may be that as you pass among them, your clothing may be torn with thorns, or that you may be stung by the nettles, or that your foot may be tripped by the roots. Thus it is that you keep your eye alert, and that you wait, that you will see the shafts of light which permeate and which come down from the heavens above. And in the branches of the trees you will see the nesting of birds. Among these trees you will see the flowers growing shyly. So is your pathway in life, that you may be tripped by the roots of others' selfishness, or you may be stung by the nettles from lips which have uttered harsh words, or that your clothing may be torn by the thorns of unkindness. But ever it must be that we must keep our eye aloft and gaze into the time and the space where the radiance of God's love always permeates through the whispering branches. And in the song of the birds, we shall hear the song of the promise of this eternal life. And in the beauty of the flowers about us, we'll speak the word of his divine creation, that there surely shall be none among us who shall become faint or weary, so so that we may know of other pathways from this place on. For the garden of the earth is but one of many gardens, and the forests of the earth but one of many forests. Its mountains are like mountains of countless other earths, and its sunshine is like the sunshine of other mighty suns. And so thou shalt awaiteth not, neither shall thou hasten, but listen only for the voice. See only with the spiritual eye, which discerns the spirit. Then surely will thy footsteps be led always into that pathway where there are no thorns, nor nettles, nor roots to trip thee. And blessed will be the day of thy eternity. Waters of life, thinkest thou of he who tilleth the soil, and that he waiteth upon the wings of heaven, that they may bring him the abundance of rain? Or of the merchant with his ships, which waiteth upon the tide, and likewise the winds of heaven? And of the weary traveler who seeth naught but the burning sands, or of the waters of the distant oasis, yea, of the bride who waiteth for the bridegroom? And all these things, and many more, and of these things he striveth for, that he countest these things as the waters of life, knowing not of the fountain within, and that in the abundance of these waters knoweth no ceasing. For they cometh not with the winds of heaven, nor with the tides of the ocean, neither can they be brought as the woman bringeth the water from the well, nor doth any traveler needs be without them. For surely these waters are not of this world, but is the wellspring of thy life, which cometh from the abundance of he who created thee.